So let's read it out loud together. It's a little bit lengthy, but we can do it. Amen? Just follow along if you can. It's on your sheet, and it's also on the screen. Here we go. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would bless your word. We ask that you would allow your word to penetrate our hearts and our minds today and transform us from the inside out. I pray, God, that you would minister to the people here, to each heart, to each mind. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're already moving in our lives. I ask that you would stand in this my body, that you would think with my mind, speak with my tongue, say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful, wonderful story. And we're talking today about making a difference in the life of a person that can eventually, potentially, to making a difference in a nation. Amen? So from one person to a nation, and this story takes us there. Today we're talking about three things that I want to emphasize. I want to talk about relationships. Say relationships. Relationships. I'm talking about your story. Say your story. And I'm talking about your destiny. Say your destiny. We're talking about your relationships, your story, and your destiny. I want to start off by saying that it could be possible that God has placed you in the family that you live in, with the coworkers that you work with, in the situation that you're in for a reason, because God wants to use you to be make a difference in your relationships so that little by little, they can hear your story and you can hear theirs, and potentially the destiny of your life will change and maybe their destinies too. Amen? The scripture says this at the top of the page. There's a scripture that says, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Matthew 4:19. Come and follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me. And Jesus says, and I will transform what your life is about. Your life has been about you, about what you can get, about fixing yourself and your own things, about getting your money and getting all the stuff that you need. And Jesus is telling the disciples who were fishing, who were trying to earn a living, who were earning an income, he said, you've been living for this your whole life. Now when you come and follow me, now you're going to start fishing. You're going to start reaching. You're going to start influencing people. How many would love to allow the Spirit of God to work in your life in such a way that you start making a difference in the lives of the people around you? Amen? For the good. Amen? I would like to. And I pray that we are a church that wants to make a difference in the lives of people. When we follow Jesus, it's not just about us. Some people think that following Jesus is about being good. It's about doing the right thing. It's about having Jesus in your heart. And it is all those things. Amen? It's about coming to church and gathering. It's about loving God and having worship times with God ourselves. But there's something bigger and greater that Jesus wants to do. Right away, when he spoke to the disciples, he says, I'm calling you not just to live for yourself so you can get your act together. I'm calling you to follow me. And as you do that, lives around you are going to start being transformed. Your family will start being restored. The addictions of the people around you are going to be breaking off. Your addictions and the people around you as well. You're called to make a difference around you and the lives of the people around you. Follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Men and women. We're talking about our relationships, our story, and we're talking about our destiny. I'm going to invite Sister Christine to come up. She's going to share a little bit of her story. Give her a hand as she comes up, amen? Praise God. She's got a wonderful, wonderful testimony to share. Here she is.
Thank you. So my name is Christine, for those who don't know me, and I'm just going to share a little bit of my story today. And I won't share every part and detail of my entire life, but I do want to highlight some meaningful relationships in my life that intersected my story and ultimately changed my destiny and my relationship with Christ. So I'll start at the very beginning with my childhood. So I was born in Cleveland, Ohio. I think it's a wonderful city. And I was born in a family of three siblings, two sisters and one brother. And I had my mom and my dad there. And we grew up in an interesting neighborhood. It was one of the worst neighborhoods in Cleveland. And I just share this story sometimes to illustrate what the neighborhood was like. So we had a pack of dogs, like wild dogs that formed a gang and didn't have owners, that just ran around the neighborhood. And when you saw them, you had to run the house. And they would terrorize kids. And I was chased by the leader multiple times, playing outside, and had to go home. And when the pound finally came and got the dogs, then a pack of cats came and took over the town and started attacking children. And I look back on this, and my siblings and I laugh about it, but it was so normal. And I have not met one other person who had that same experience. So this is my neighborhood growing up. And there are other dangers as well. We often heard gunshots sometimes at the neighbor's house. So it wasn't a place we would recommend to others. And when I look back on that time and I reflect on my life, I remember how different things were inside my house versus the chaos and the laughable things that were happening outside. And I attribute that to relationships with my family, and especially to my parents and my mother. So my mom, she was such a prayer warrior. At the end of every night before we went to bed, we would be in her room, and my parents' room, and we would read devotions together, read scripture, we would sing together and worship, and we would pray together. And that just became a rhythm of my life. And I remember her praying nonstop. And on our way to school, every single day, she would be praying in tongues, in English. She would just be praying. And she wouldn't stop until we got to school, and then we would get out the car and say amen. And I just remember how even when she saw like an ambulance come past, she would reach out her hand and pray. Prayer was everywhere. And I don't know if she realized it, although I believe it was intentional, but she really was helping to build a strong foundation of spiritual habits, as we talked about, in our lives as young kids. And we would really need that in the next stage of our life. And my mother is also the person who led me in the prayer to give my life to Christ at a young age, as she taught me about what it meant and Christ's sacrifice for me. I fast forward now to 15-year-old Christine in the summer of 2006, and everything changed. So that summer, we basically almost lost everything, meaning that we could no longer afford the house that we were living in, and we had to quickly find another place to live or we would be homeless. And this was right before the school year was about to start, and we were excited to go back to see all of our friends, and we didn't even know where we would be going to school or if it would be starting anytime soon. So after a few weeks, the Lord worked a miracle, and we found a new place that we could afford to live. And it was right on the border where inner city Cleveland was, and then this new suburb called Shaker Heights. which was really well known for good academics, great schools, an international diverse population, and a very global-minded faculty and staff at the school. So that really did change my life, and the Lord worked out that situation to give us a better schooling system. But still, that season was marked with a lot of pain, and socially and emotionally, and isolation, because I was a new girl starting in the middle of a school year in a place I didn't know and people I didn't know. And I really struggled to build relationships and find community. And to top it all off, at the church that I attended as well, the youth group was a very toxic environment where the youth who were involved, they oftentimes humiliated and made fun of people who were interested in learning about Christ. And I was someone who loved learning about Christ. That was such a huge part of my childhood. And so I felt ostracized and isolated from the church community. So it was in that period of my life that I taught myself that my relationship with Christ and my experience with Him would be something that's secret. It's something that I hide and I only talk about inside my household. So I would find private places in my house to cry out to the Lord, and I would really hide my relationship with Him. It was also in that period of my life that I became very consumed in thinking about what other people thought. And that really encompassed all my thoughts. How can I best present myself? How can I make myself fit in this new environment? How can I distance myself from that area where I grew up? How can I make myself look completely different and do everything differently? And that's what consumed everything around me. So fast forward again to college. And in college, things changed again for me. So when I went to college, I really did find community and friendship and a spiritual community. And this happened because one person reached out to me and invited me. So I went to something that we had at my college, Davidson College. We had something called Thursday Night Worship. And it was every Thursday night in a chapel on campus with candlelight where students would just cry out to the Lord and worship the Lord. And I couldn't believe that this was something that happens. It wasn't something I knew about. And a campus leader, she was a part of a campus ministry, and she was on staff, she came out and approached me. So she came over, she asked who I was, she got to know me, and she invited me to join the campus ministry. And she invited me to be a part of her small Bible study so that she could disciple me. And I didn't know why she thought to seek me out. There were a lot of people there that night. That really did change the course of my college experience. I was a part of the Bible study with a small group of girls. We memorized scripture together. We talked about accountability, just things I hadn't really experienced before. And we went to conferences and really learned about the things of Christ together. And it was a huge changing point for me. And from that moment on, there were still ups and downs in college, but I saw how the Lord started putting me in communities and really showing me the beauty of a spiritual community. And slowly he started to break apart these misconceptions that I had of what spiritual community could look like or the things I learned from the bad church experiences I had before. So when I went on and I studied abroad in Spain and then taught in Spain, the Lord met me there and gave me a small community of believers that were strong. And one of those people was Yasser, and that's how I met him, and ultimately we got married. So the Lord met me there. And going on, when I went to New York City for grad school, the Lord gave me strong sisters in Christ, and we urged each other on. And then in August 2016, I moved to Rochester and came to Heart and Soul Community Church. So from that moment in college, I saw how the Lord was very faithful and giving me strong church communities at a time where I thought community isn't something, that's not something you can do, celebrate the Lord with others. But now I see that you can rejoice and share your faith with others. So I just want to share a couple reflections that I had as I was preparing to give my testimony today. I wrote down, it amazes me how one small conversation, one small invitation to join a campus ministry, to come to a potluck, to have a meal with someone, one example from strong believers like my mom, have really had an impact in my life and can change my destiny or could change anyone's destiny. And I want to share some verses from scripture. This comes from Acts 17, 26 through 27. It says, from one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. So what I want to share with you is wherever you were born, in whatever moment in history, it wasn't without God's design. And no matter what your story is, it's also not without God's design. I see now that I was born in a particular neighborhood, even with all the things I laugh at now, in a particular family, and went through those particular struggles I had in my life so that I would be able to find God. And it didn't go without his notice, all those details of my life. And the Lord also knows all the details of your life intimately. And it's not just out of randomness. I want you to know that. So I encourage you all to continue reaching out to others in conversations, invitations, and live your life as an example, because you never know who it may affect. Thank you.
Great job. Wonderful, wonderful. What a great story, man. And now I think we all can feel a little bit closer to her because we've heard her story. There's a power in telling the story. And thank you again for sharing it. It was better the second time. Yeah, it was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we're talking about your relationships, your story, and then your destiny. And how God has put the people around you for a reason so that he could touch their lives. And they can hear a little bit of your story, and you can share stories, and then maybe both of your destinies will be impacted. I mentioned earlier that what the story we're going to look at today that we just read had to do with a person from the country of Ethiopia who was perhaps a first follower of Jesus there, and that out of that country, maybe other thousands of Christians have spread out from there, but this man is highlighted in the scripture. And I want to just take a few moments together with you in the next few minutes that we have together to talk about this story and look at it in the context of relationships, stories, and destiny. The scripture says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Now the first thing I want to say is, Philip was a man from Israel. He was a Jewish man. And he had just run away from his home country. He had been persecuted away, so he was fleeing Jerusalem. That's the context here. He was running away from his home country. All the Christians were being persecuted in Jerusalem. And in that process, God speaks to Philip and tells him, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." One of the things I want to say about this particular relationship is that there's a connection that's about to be made that's really important, but it starts with a prompting from God, a whisper from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God, as followers of Jesus, we are able to hear the voice of God. We're able to hear whispers from God. Now, just so that you know, I've never heard the audible voice of God. Amen? I would probably faint and cry if I did. Right? "Hey, Lewis, how you doing?" What? What's going on? It would be a scary thing. But what I have heard is his whisper, and it comes almost like something that he puts in our minds and in our hearts. It's a prompt that can only come from him. That can only come from him. I'll give you an example. I did not share this with the early service, but just this morning, I like to sing and play and do all that stuff, but I hadn't really written any music before. And so a few years ago, I felt like there was a scripture, and I wrote a song based on that scripture. But I always thought, this is not finished. This song is not done. And so just this morning, as I was spending time with the Lord, I was reading a particular portion of scripture, and I sensed that God was saying, "This is the finished product. This is what you were missing." And so I pulled out my phone and I recorded some words and some lyrics that I thought, this is right. And I felt like prompted from the Spirit of God to do that. Now, I haven't sang that song or talked about that song for ages here at all. Okay? So, and that happened this morning. I was like, "Oh, that's cool. So it's in my phone. No, you will not be able to listen to it until it's a finished product. Because right now it's going to sound. He's like, "What, Pastor? I'm not sure about that song, okay? But just give it time." But I come here and we start practicing. And right after we warmed up for the first service, Brother Eliaster, unbeknownst to anything, he starts playing a portion of the song that I had written a long time ago. And I was like, why are you playing that?" It's like, "Oh, well, we read the scripture." And it was as if God was saying, "I was speaking to you this morning. That was not an accident. I want to assure you, this was God." And God does that kind of stuff. He speaks to us. So when we're talking about, does God speak to us? Absolutely. He is alive and well. He wants to speak to you and me today to make a difference in the lives of the people that we have a relationship with. Amen? So he's speaking to a man named Philip here. Go to this place. And the Bible says, so he started out. And again, you have that scripture right in your notes there. He started out. In other words, he did what God told him to do. Sometimes we don't get to fulfill the things that God wants us to because we don't even do the first thing that God tells us to do. We want to hit a grand slam home run for God, but we're not willing to run to first base. And the first part, God doesn't tell Philip here, hey, you're going to meet a man and things are going to be different for him and an entire nation will be affected by the conversation you're going to have. No, God simply tells him, I want you to go down to this road. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I say, God, I don't want to go to that road. I was working here. I was coming to work this week, and there were some people in the parking lot that should not be in the parking lot. Usually my first response is, right? The little bit of karate that I knew when I was a kid wants to come out. I'm just kidding. I'm a soft kind of guy. But I normally just kind of start getting upset. But God said, remember what I told you, what God spoke to me. And again, not out loud, but I remember God putting this thought in my heart and my mind is whenever somebody comes onto our campus, it's because I want you to talk to them. I want you to love them. I say, okay, God, but I'm kind of upset. No, love them as Jesus would love them. Okay, God, I'm going to go annoy them with Jesus. I'm going to go bother them with the gospel. And so that's what I do. And I did multiple times this week. I'm like, instead of saying, hey, you know, I used to say, hey, this is a private parking lot, you know, we, now I say, hey, how you doing? My name is Lewis. God bless you. What's going on? You know what? We would love to see you at church. It's right here. Services are here. And sometimes they might want to run away. I say, no, you come back here. Now I got you. We're talking. I'm gonna annoy you with Jesus, right? He started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury. All the treasury. That means all the money. That means he was very important. He had access to resources, this Ethiopian man. He was in charge of the treasury of the Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. So he did what God told him to do, and just by coincidence, there happened to be Bill Gates was on the same street that he was walking in. Anybody meet Bill Gates before? Just check. I want to talk to you if you have afterwards. This man, this Ethiopian man, had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He was not a Jewish man, he was an Ethiopian, but he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, was sitting in his chariot. This rich Bill Gates Ethiopian man was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Who knew? He was a man that looked different from Philip. Are you with me? He was not the same race as Philip. He was not the same ethnicity as Philip. God says, I want you to walk in that street. And all of a sudden, here's that man. And it just so happens that that guy is reading the Bible. Can I just tell you something? Oftentimes, God says to me, I want you to go talk to someone. Or every once in a while, he nudges me to say something nice, be nice to someone that is usually annoying. Are you with me? Sometimes God will lead us to talk to people that sometimes bothers. I want you to go over there. But God, I don't want to. They don't want to hear me. They don't want to talk to me. But what I don't know is that God has been doing stuff in their life in the background when no one else sees. This man was reading Isaiah the prophet. And so Philip says, do you understand what you are reading? Philip asks. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. Can I just say something to you? Those of you who have been coming here for a little while, even just a little while, and I need you to tell newcomers, give us a year of your life, you know, give us a year of coming to church, and I promise you, your life will be transformed. But if you've been coming here, even if it's just for a little while, there's something inside of you that God wants to do and wants to use to explain to people the goodness of God. To explain to people the goodness about Jesus. To explain it to me. Because there's a lot of people who act tough and act hard, but inside they are dying, they are addicted, they are wounded, and they're looking for someone, someone who knows them, who will come up to them and say, hey, how are you today? And someone who will explain the goodness of God to them. And we take for granted sometimes what we know. Well, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to know that. They're rich. They're from Ethiopia. They're a different race than I am. They don't want to know that. But God has been doing work. And Philip, in this story, by God's grace, was obedient. How can I understand unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Listen, the Ethiopian Bill Gates invited Philip. He opened up his super duper chariot, multiple level chariot, right? And he said, why don't you come in? And if I was Philip, I'm like, running in the desert or something. Sure, I'll come into that, absolutely. But I want you to notice that the man, the Ethiopian man, invited Philip in. He invited Philip in. Philip was obedient to be where God told him to be, and now this man is inviting him into his chariot. He invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. Accidentally, coincidentally, there is no coincidences with God. Amen? God knows what he's doing. He is smarter than I am. He's got greater capacity than I do. I can't see what he sees. Amen? Sometimes we don't understand. There's a song that was written after a tragic, tragic accident. And the man that wrote it to try to bring comfort to the family. And it's always brought comfort to me, especially in times when I don't understand what's going on. And it goes like this. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to his side with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways that you and I cannot see, that we don't understand. What he wants us to do is just be obedient. Just start walking on the street that I'm telling you. Just start loving on the person that I'm telling you to. Just start forgiving people instead of always giving them a piece of your mind. Start loving people. God's working with me on this one. Start loving people, not because of what they can do for you, but just because God wants me to love them. God wants you to love them. Just love them. Unconditionally. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, is what the scripture. The eunuch was reading this portion of Isaiah when Philip showed up. He invites Philip to come in and explain the scriptures to him. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And then after they read that, the eunuch said, he stopped reading and he looked at Philip and said, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? It just so happened that he was reading part of the story of the gospel of Jesus. And the scripture goes on. And it says, then Philip began with that very passage of scripture. And let me just say this right quick. Sometimes people get into, anybody got a physical Bible with you? Anybody? No one? Okay, cool. Okay, you go. Can I borrow that for just 1 second? I'm sorry. Yeah, I won't mess you up too much. Cool. Thank you very much. Okay. So sometimes people are intimidated by the scriptures, right? Because it's a big book. I mean, it's not like, okay, I'm just going to read this in an afternoon and be done with it. No, it takes a while, right? Now, most of the Bible is divided into two books. There's the New Testament and the And the bigger part is the Old Testament. And all I want to say to you is this. Here, there is a man preaching about Jesus from the Old Testament. He's preaching about Jesus from the Old Testament. All that to say to you is, I would encourage you, when you read the scriptures, read the New Testament. There's powerful stuff there. If you can't read anything else, I would encourage you to start with the Gospels. But the Old Testament has some beauty. It speaks about the majesty of Jesus, even if people didn't realize it at the time. And so here Philip is talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. Thank you very much, sister. I appreciate that. He's talking to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's using Isaiah the prophet, Old Testament, to share about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. As Philip was sharing, I want you to notice this. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" Can I just tell you something? When you and I obey God, we don't have to be like, "Okay, Sister Christine, okay, here's the gospel, and here's what you need to do next. And can I talk to you about this? And then don't you want to receive Jesus? And don't you want to be baptized?" No, listen. When you obey God, God will open up doors so wide that the people that you're trying to reach, they themselves will ask you for it. Here is the Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch invited Philip into his chariot and then invited Philip to explain the Bible to him and then asked him, who is he talking about here? And now he's saying, "Hey, there's some water. I want to be baptized." I can just imagine Philip just standing there like, okay, sure. All he did was simply, I love the song. "I give myself away, right? So you can't use me." When we give ourselves away, God can use us. And we don't have to figure every little detail out, but God can and will use us. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Again, he gave orders. He is a powerful man. This is a powerful, influential person. I just want you to see that. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. It was a one-time thing. Well, I don't want to talk to this person because they're strangers. I don't want to talk to them because they're intimidating. I do encourage you to be wise, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning, right, in the neighborhood. But if God prompts you to talk to someone, even just one time can make all the difference. This is a one-time conversation. I don't know how long it was, but it was a one-time deal. Never saw him again. And listen to this. The eunuch did not see him again, but he went on, the eunuch did, on his way rejoicing, because something had happened inside of his life. His life was transformed. His life was changed. I want you to see something as well. Sometimes we think that we need to know that entire book, the scriptures, in order for us to be able to share Christ with people. But I'm not going to say anything because I don't know. What if they ask me a question? Or what if they say this? And can I just tell you this? Clearly, here the Bible says that Philip explained the scriptures to him because Philip grew up as a Jew and an Israelite, and most of those kids had to memorize the Old Testament. Anybody memorize Genesis? Yeah, I'm working on that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we're working on verse 2, okay? Right? That's where we are. But these kids, they memorized. So he knew the scriptures. So when Philip was introduced to Jesus, when he recognized that he was the Messiah, he was able to take that message and then all the learnings from the Old Testament, and he said, "Wow, this is the message about Christ." It's what he knew. It was his expertise. It was his experiences. When God calls you to do something, to go somewhere, to talk to someone, God is not going to use someone else's expertise. He's going to use yours. What you know, what your experiences are. I remember not too long ago, a few months back, I was in an Uber. I was riding an Uber like Robert does every morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right? Excuse me. I was riding an Uber. And just coincidentally, the man starts talking about his life and tells me, and this is a couple of years ago, he tells me, not too long ago, I lost my wife, he says. And the moment that he said that, it was like, boom. Well, let me just tell you about my story. And we were able to talk, and we ended up praying that day. Anybody ever pray with taxi or Uber drivers? Yeah? Right? Maybe not going to be the first practice. Okay, Gila, thank you very much, right? But the thing is, God used my experience to minister to him. If he would have told me something else, I wouldn't have been able to help him. But the story he told at that moment was, I just lost my spouse. And so God opened up the door so that I could share with him from my experience. God wants to use you. Everyone say this. God wants to use me. My story. My experiences. My gifts. Not my neighbors. I love my neighbor. But God wants to use me for me. He wants to use you. Amen? Your story. So that you can impact the destiny of the people around you. This man went home rejoicing. He was the first Ethiopian Christian. And who knows all the thousands of people, his family, the people around him that were impacted. He was a man of influence. And it started with God allowing Philip to come up close so that he can begin a relationship that then turned into the story. They exchanged stories and Philip was able to share with him that ultimately ended up transforming their destiny. Do you know that our wonderful, amazing, talented, and gifted champion of sharing God's love is Sister Julia? Hi, Julia. God bless you. She is here today. I told her when she came in, I'm like, I feel like I've seen you already. It's because I had seen her on a video. But do you know that here she is. She's working and praying with us to try to encourage you, encourage all of us, to share with the people. There's so much need in this community. Did you know that? There's so much need. And we want to love on this community. We want to empower this community. And she's here as our point person for sharing God's love. Did you know that some years ago, Sister Carol simply invited her to come to a service? She came back here because someone had a relationship with her and invited her and said, why don't you come to service? And she started coming to service. At that moment, I guarantee you, unless she had secret aspirations, I guarantee you she had no thoughts or plans of becoming a leader, of becoming a world changer here, right here in heart and soul. Amen? But it started with someone getting close to her and some relationship inviting. When we talk about encouraging you to invite people to church, it's not for any other reason. Listen, you invite, as she said in the video, we invite, and then it's in God's hands. We get close to the chariot, and whatever God wants to do from there is up to him. Amen? Won't you come to church? When I was 13 years old, I was struggling with what my faith was and who I was, and I had a friend of mine that came up to me and said, hey, we're going to go pray in a prayer room. Do you want to come with us? What he didn't know was that I had been questioning and asking questions about God in my life. He didn't know that. But somehow he was prompted as a teenager. I'm talking about young persons, amen? As a teenager, he came up to me and said, why don't you come and pray with us? That day is marked in history for me as a day when everything started to change in my life. Amen? And it was a young person. And I've often told him, his name is Matt, he's a friend of mine still. I was like, Matt, you have no idea what you did. No idea. It's amazing how God can use us with power through relationships, through stories, and through destiny. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for your love and your grace among us. Help us to become men and women that build relationships with people, that tell our stories and listen to other people's stories, and who are able to impact not only our own destinies, but the destinies of the people around us. With the message of Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. And everyone said, amen.